The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And the cowboy. No, I'm kidding. Fuck Tyler.
The Welsh Wonder is back. You know, we like your sporadic appearances on the Magic Podcast, mate. You know,
I like to keep it interesting. You know, keep people on their toes. You never know what you're going to get.
I love that you never miss the Side Chick podcast.
Well, those ones are not fucking 3 hours long.
Actually, they are. They are really good. I was listening to one recently. I've been playing catch up, and I was listening to one recently that was really good. They're all really good. I love. But I've started watching them on. I used to listen to them on the podcast, but now I've started watching them on YouTube because you guys will talk about something and say, hey, why don't you do this and do this and do this? I'm like, yeah. What are you fucking talking about?
Well, we just started it because, as you know, I've just had no time to be creative in the past few months, like literally no time set aside. Like even when I do like Tutorial Tuesdays on my channel, it's for the purpose of creating a video and I'm not creating consciously.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just need to allocate, like I need to treat it like something official where I allocate myself an hour or so, or 45 minutes to an hour a week that I consciously think about creativity just to like keep my brain sharp with it. And so it just seemed to make sense to like record those creativity sessions. But yeah, man, it's cool. But I've been off the grid. What's been happening? What did I miss?
You missed it. I bet you haven't even listened to the podcast that me and Tyler did last week.
Well, why would I listen to the not as good version of this podcast?
Very true. You don't want to listen to it either. Trust me. but Tyler did a good job. Now, I've been running around like fucking crazy. I was in Alakazam all last week, and I was filming the biggest project that I've ever done. So this project is a new coin project. It's the follow-up to the Apparition coin set. So it's the third coin set I'm doing with Alakazam. And it clocked in at a 9.5 hour tutorial. And
honestly, mate.
3.5 hours of live performance footage.
3.5 hours.
I went to Houdini's and basically just filmed all day. There's 35 tricks on this project. 35 tricks. 35 tricks. Try going and doing 35 performances back to back in front of an audience. And then we had a bunch of other performances to do as well. So,
do you know, I would try and do one performance of your trick, like for example, Apparition, if I had been sent one by the testicle king himself.
Well, he's just a fucking annoying guy, isn't he? No, he's got them in the second, they're sold out in 2 hours and he's been waiting for the second batch to come in, but they are now in. And I have given him your address, and he is sending you one. So you will be getting
it. No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Haven't you had all my other stuff from Alakazam?
Some of it, yeah. Yeah.
Other than the stuff you didn't want. You didn't want Elf. I don't know why. It was not a trick that really appealed to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it did. It just... My kid's too young to understand the difference between good and bad magic.
Oh.
It's a packet trick, and I'm just not keen on packet tricks.
I know, you're not a packet trick guy. But yeah, I was at Alakazam. I hung out with Nemid Phoenix and Wayne Goodman.
Awesome.
That was fun. And obviously Peter Nardi and the seed of Peter and his love spots.
The slime from his balls.
you're back. Harry's killing it on social media, though.
I
dude.
Know it makes killing me so it. Jealous, but he deserves it all. He's like literally incredible.
He's one of those. He's just annoyingly good at everything and good looking. You know, he's one of those people that you just hope that there's something, something like he wears women's underwear or something. Like you hope there's something because he's as close to fucking perfect as you can get. Another guy like that, by the way, is Simon Lipkin. Simon Lipkin is as close to perfect as you can get. Good looking, incredible actor, incredible creator, super nice guy. Everybody loves him. And it's just so annoying.
Yeah, I feel you. Sometimes I just feel like Quasimodo.
Yeah.
Please help me.
You may feel like Quasimodo. I am actually Quasimodo.
You fucking look like him, yes.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Too fucking right. But yeah, other than that, I was at Blackpool for a couple of weeks at the House of Secrets. That was fun.
How can you say fun, couple of weeks, and Blackpool in one sentence?
I love Blackpool. If I had a chance to move, I would. If I could shift my business over to Blackpool,
I like Blackpool, but I can't do more than like 3.5 days by disappearing on like 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, you just disappear.
When, look, away from there.
What time is it? It's the last day of the convention on a Sunday in the morning. He's fucked up. He's halfway to.
I was eating a KFC on the M6. That's where it was.
I wanted to show Lloyd an idea. Not going to fucking happen.
Then ring him because he's not here.
Oh, that's funny. No, I love Blackpool. I had a good time there. Ryan loves performing at the House of Secrets. It was my birthday when I was in Blackpool, and I went to see Jasper Cherry perform at the House of Secrets. He did a really great show. It was really good.
Oh, yeah, Jasper's amazing. I really, really like Jasper Cherry.
He's put a new closer into his act now. He's put the Pegasus page into his show, but he's got a really nice way of presenting it, and it's really sick, really, really good, really good. So yeah, I was super, super impressed with Jasper's show. Outside of that, I then came back, did Alakazam. I'm now just hanging out in the office doing things, gearing up for another shoot with Murphy's Magic. We're filming for a new product that's coming out soon. This one's super exciting. That's kind of what's on my mind at the moment.
I've seen that you put up a video on the Crystallize.
Oh, yeah. Stuff. I just wanted to put across my point of view on it.
How did all that go down? Hits out on you?
I haven't heard. I mean, obviously, I was talking about an ex-Marine, but I was very respectful to Dave. And as you should be, I believe that Dave Bonsall has done more for the UK magic community than most people put together. And he is as close as we're ever going to get to an absolute legend. And I have not got a problem with Dave. I have not got a problem with Prop Dog. I have not got a problem with anything like that. I just had a problem with the way that everything was handled and some of the things that were said in terms of, well, you know, we were talking about it at the actual time, you know. And I wanted to put my side of things across. I didn't shout. It wasn't a rant. I didn't rave. It was just, hey, this is things from my point of view. This is things from my narrative. Somebody posted on the cafe and said, oh, the thing with Craig is there's always drama about every release. the problem with magic is, or at least the problem with the online community when it comes to magic, is you can't win. And what I mean by that is you have people, you look at the Crystallized thread and you have people posting on there going, oh, Craig Pett is scum. And the reason he's scum is because of this. And you have Dave Bonsall going on there and going, well, it was never actually a Prop Dog release. And you have, oh, yeah, if Craig came on and spoke about this. So if you're silent, if you don't say anything, then you're immediately guilty because you're not communicating with people or putting across your side of things. But if I make a video, which is my way of communicating, I don't like writing stuff down. You won't see me making long posts on Facebook. You won't see me even texting. You know, when I get a text from you and you ask me a question, I'm more than likely will probably just quickly ring you up because I'd rather have a 30-second phone conversation and tell you the answer to something than text you. I just don't like.
Yeah, it does my fucking nut in.
I know. It's just a character. So if I make a video replying to everybody's comments, well, all of a sudden I'm causing drama. Well, I'm not. It's a year old, but you know, it gets frustrating from my point of view because you can't win. You know, if you do it one way, it's wrong. You do it the other way, it's wrong. If you stay silent, it's wrong. If you speak, it's wrong. It's kind of, how do you win in this scenario? And all of the drama that's happened over the last two or three releases, none of it has had anything to do with me. Well, it has, but it's not. It's all to fucking do with me, but it's not like I started it. It's not like I wrote the letter to fucking, it's not like I wrote the email about EDC. That wasn't me. That was somebody else whose name rhymes with Schmeichel Schmeber. You know, it wasn't me who, like, decided to put another version of the apparition coin set out and call it aberration. That wasn't me. That was somebody else. You know, it's yeah. Whatever. But yes,
I think what a lot of people don't know is that there's a lot of behind the scenes drama that mostly all creators will experience in some way, shape or form. A lot of them just will try to bury their head in the sand and hope that it goes away, which is, you know, understandable, but you're not that guy that's going to let someone get away with something, you know?
Well, if it can be handled behind the scenes, it will. And I'm more than happy with that. So when the Apparition coin set came out, 2 days before it was due to be released, Justin Miller reached out to me and said, hey, I've done something very similar to this before. It's called the Dream Kit. And I said to Justin, I've just watched the video. You're right. It's very similar. I know you did it on a very limited release, but it is very similar. What can I do to fix this? We came to an arrangement that he was happy with. And now he's got a couple of tutorials on the Apparition coin set project. So he's actually put some routines on it because he was so happy with how I dealt with it. And I wasn't going to say anything to anybody. The only reason I did is because Justin wanted to shout from the rooftops, because he's such a great guy, about how it was handled in such a professional manner. So in that scenario, it was handled behind the scenes. And there's more stuff that happens behind the scenes that you could possibly be aware of. The problem is, if it gets to a point where it can't be dealt with behind the scenes, some creators will sit back and go, oh, well, we'll let it go. Well, I'm not that sort of person. I'm not wired that way. So before I made the video about EDC, for example, there were like 2 weeks worth of back and forths between me and Michael Weber, and emails coming back and emails going forth, and it was about a week's worth of emails. It only got to a point that I made a video when I was told that, well, hang on a minute, if you don't do it this way, then it could be very bad for you. I'm like, right, okay, at that point, I can see this isn't going to go any further. Right, okay, you know, where I come from, that's considered a threat. And I'm not going to roll over and play dead, because frankly, and without being and laboring the point too much, you know, people go, oh, you know, this is Craig's livelihood. It's really fucking not. It's really fucking not. It's not my livelihood. So I don't give two shits. You know, I don't have a problem with causing controversy. I don't have a problem with putting my side of things out, because ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, I'm forced out the magic community. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, got a big business because of the back of it. I'm fine. So
yeah, it's true though. Yeah.
When the worst possible scenario is not actually a worst case scenario, then who gives a shit?
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, it's just like, I think it's good for people to know that just that, like, I think a lot of people don't realize that even like the pure creators, the ones that never get into trouble, actually, because I know so much about what happens behind the scenes, they actually do, but a lot of them just don't get involved with it, or just try to bury their heads.
And it comes from a position of me promising to myself that when I came back to Magic, I perceived, rightfully or wrongly, that a lot of the problems that happened when I was forced out in the first place was a result of me not communicating. When Red happened, I didn't really make any posts about it. I didn't do anything about it. When the Wayne Dobson thing happened, I didn't really do anything about it. Every single time something happened, I didn't communicate. And I think that was the biggest problem I had. So I promised myself when I came back to Magic, whatever happens, I will communicate completely effectively so people know where that I'm at. And I probably overshare, and I probably tell people stuff that's happening behind the scenes that people don't need to know. But I'd rather be completely honest and tell people where I'm at with stuff rather than be in a situation where it all blows up in my face and stuff comes out that I've, you know, should have said that I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's good. So was there any blowback from that video? Was it all
blowback? Sorry. she said. No blowback at all, as far as I'm aware. I don't think so. Nope.
Cool. So. Famous last words. See you next week.
Yeah. Next week, I'm like, fuck me, Lloyd.
And it's all gone to shit.
It's all gone tits up. What the fuck am I going to do? It seems to be okay at the moment, so long may it continue.
What's been happening in the magic news then outside of
dude, Killian O'Connor smashed it on Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, was he on there?
Yeah, he killed it. Absolutely killed it. Episode one went on, did a great act. Really great act. Absolutely killed it.
I'll try and find out. What did he perform?
Milky Light Bulb. Your Acne Portable Hole, the jumbo version that Steve-O Watson makes.
Did he?
He opened with Acne Portable Hole.
Fuck off. Oh, that's cool. Okay, I suppose I have to watch it now. I was saying I was going to watch it. I had no intention of watching it. I'm going to watch it now. Just to massage my own ego.
Yeah. You see, opened up with one of my tricks. Now I will pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm actually interested.
So he opened up with that, and then he went into Milk and Light Bulb, and he finished off with the sweet prediction thing, which is, a jar of sweets, and there's a prediction.
Yeah, that's such a good fact.
Yeah, so it was good. It was really, really good. Go on.
The big news that I've heard this week is Darren Brown is releasing a book for magicians and mentalists.
Yeah, I heard that. He must be short of a few, Bob.
Get the feeling, like, with him turning up to, like, the London Magic Convention and, he constantly surrounds himself, like, his team are magicians and mentalists. I get the feeling he's got the bug back a little bit, but obviously can't release magic tricks because, like, that sort of, like, his brand, like, I remember him, like, lecturing at the Session Convention and things, and even his Penguin lecture more so. I think he's very, like, he consciously can't give away any secrets because he's under the watchful eye, and he's somebody the public like to speculate about how he does his tricks quite publicly, because it's done. So I think he can't release tricks, obviously, because it would, like, sort of dilute his brand and people would become aware that some of his stuff is tricks, because he's very good at convincing even me half the time. I think, actually, is he really doing it? Or is it a trick? Because he's so good. But it says that, look, this is called Notes from a Fellow Traveler, Mentalism, Meaning, and 30 Years of Mistakes. And he said, a first look at a book I've written for magicians and mentalists on performance. It's a big old beast, a journal I was keeping when touring with Showman. It'll be released around May or June, just on my site at first. So I think it's his way of, because everyone talks about how influential, and it's right, how incredible, like, and how much he changed mentalism and the face of performing, I think, the modern magic. Everyone does, like, the Darren Brown style. Yes. Mentalism these days, or most people do. Yep. And it's because of him, and I'm guessing it's his way of reconnecting, and he probably, like, passionately wants to get involved but can't so much, so a book on theory, I suppose, is probably the best way. I don't know, I'm speculating, but either way, I'm going to be the first person to buy it, like, for a fact.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'd love to see Darren start releasing magic, but I don't think he ever will. But we've got the next best thing in Andy Nyman. Andy is,
he's just had a book out as well called it's a novel.
Fiction. Yeah.
Fiction. Yeah, by him and Jeremy Dyson, called The Warlock Effect. I'm actually gonna pick that up and read it.
Oh wow, I saw the advert for it. I'm definitely gonna get that as well. I've just read his lecture notes.
Were they great?
Oh my god, there's some incredible stuff in there. There's the best ungimmicked version of Brainwave I've ever seen.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to learn that.
Best ungimmicked version. And he's got this incredible trick where, and it is incredible. He takes four people and he gets them to put their, he says, is the four people here who've got a bit of a weird ringtone? A bit of a weird ringtone on their phone, and people put their hand up, and he gives an envelope to somebody and he says, do me a favor, go and put the four phones in this envelope and just bring them back up. Brilliant. And he says, right, I want you I want somebody to ring one of the phone numbers. And basically, he listens to the phone, to the ringtone, and he tells each person who the phone is from the ringtone. And he's left with one phone, and he goes, well, obviously that's yours, so let's try this. And he picks up his phone and he just rings their phone. He actually is able to work out what their phone number is based off, you know, so the final one, he actually rings it and works out what their phone number is. Really good.
Wicked. Wicked.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, killer. So yes, really, really good. Really, really good. Yeah, so Britain's Got Talent. We had an illusionist on Saturday that did a really great job from France, but you obviously aren't interested in illusions. So that wouldn't really float your boat at all.
Just watching Killian's performance in the background. Amazing.
Yeah, he did great. Did really, really good.
So, so good. Yeah. News, not well, kind of product related for me. I'm not going to go to Magic Live this year.
What?
I can't be fucked with it. But
last year, you didn't go because you had sheep aids. What?
It's true. I don't want to do much traveling at the minute. I'm so done with traveling. But so I've said to myself, I'm going to do like a couple of trips a year abroad. But I've got to do the Dex trailer and explanation very, very soon. So me and Javier were chatting. Javier's raised in Miami, and that he's like, dude, if we film the trailer in Miami, he's like, I know those people, I know those streets, I know that I can just get the absolute best reactions of my life because that's where I sharpened my teeth performing. So I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go to do Miami instead.
Hang on. Whoa. Fucking whoa. When I release a product with Murphy's, I go to fucking Bristol or Birmingham. Where's the... Hey, Craig, we think you'll do a better job filming in Miami. Here's a ticket. Go over there.
Anyway, well, no, it's not so much that.
Get me a plane ticket to Miami. I'll come with you and I'll do my new Murphy's trick and get some performance.
No, because we didn't have to spend in filming you for 3 weeks straight on one bastard project.
Because it's all about me, Bob.
No, it's literally because Javier said that, like, he wants it to be the best trailer he's ever done. Like, he wants to get the best reactions he's ever gotten. And that's where he, you know, like everyone has their stomping ground where you just know you could capitalize. Like for me, it'd be funerals for family members. And for you, it would probably be funerals for small children. No, Javier's like, dude, it's Miami. It's where I can crush it. It's where he's from. It's his home. So I was like, fuck it, I'll do that. And I don't want to do America more than like once in a year. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the second that Dex actually comes out, the entire Magic community are going to have one giant orgasm at the same time. You are aware of that, right?
Oh, but it's one of those things that, like, it's been overhyped by other people. Like, I put up a video with me performing it and stuff, but there's no, like, marketing push, there's no campaign. I know some people have been using it in, like, tutorials and stuff that, like, have received copies to test. Like, you and Christian Grace and people. But ultimately, like, it's one of those... Because I let the cat out of the bag early, that people are going to expect it to do the work for them, and it's knacky to do. It's extremely quick and it's extremely streamlined, but it's knacky. And I think people that whenever there's something that requires a small amount of skill, you do get a minority of magicians that can complain about it. You know,
yeah, so I'd agree with you.
So I'm apprehensive.
Yeah, I can imagine. But honestly, the community needs a trick like this, needs a product like this. This is going to be, and I've seen some of the effects that you've put together with it, and they're great. It's going to go great guns. It really is. It's going to go.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's the new.
So when you're heading over to Miami, Lloyd?
There's no definitive date yet, but I'd like to do it next month. I think I might go over next month.
And so I'm going to be flying solo. It's going to be me.
When do you go to America? I don't know if I can say what you're going for, but when do you go to America?
Around about August. It'll be after Magic Live. I'll be going to the next time I'm going to America is with Penguin. I'm going there in May to film a bunch of new projects.
That's next month.
That's next month. And then I'm going to be going there again for Magic Live. because obviously Penguin, I've had confirmation now I'm on the Penguin stand at Magic Live, so I'll definitely be there. I might, my plan was to speak to Murphy's and see if they wanted me to go over for a few days and to catch an internal flight after Magic Live and go over to Sacramento.
And that'd be cool.
Which, you know, but I'd like to tie it in with doing something over there. So if they need some performances for a product I've got coming out, which, you know, we have. And then at the end of August, I've got to go back. Beginning of September, end of August, I've got to go back again.
You fucking love it, boy.
The way for my family was not to love. It's
I'll see, like, I'm just doing one. I can't fucking be bothered those long ass trips. I'm off to Vietnam at the end of the year as well.
What?
Yeah, my best mate from school. Sorry, my fucking dog. Charlie, silence. My best mate from school's getting married. And he was a groomsman at my wedding. So I'm gonna fly over there. I'm quite down for that though.
Yeah, I've never been to Vietnam. That's interesting.
I went there for 3 days a couple of years ago to see him. I just literally flew in for the weekend and we played Xbox and I fucked off. Literally. we played Rocket League on Xbox for 3 days straight. Didn't go and do any sightseeing. I think we had to walk around the city or something. And then I fucked off out of there.
Well, that's an interesting trip. Mad. Oh, dear me. No, I'm trying to think if there's any other news, anything else going on. You're going... No, I think we're caught up. Obviously, we're coming up to... are you doing any more conventions this year? I mean, there's a few. Are you going to do the London Magic Convention again?
Yeah, I'll do the British conventions, I think. I don't mind that so much. Anywhere I can go where I can just get in the car and fuck off at my own leisure, that's probably where I'll be going. I'm too old, Craig.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it, with Magic Live? You'd want to fuck off halfway through the last day. Yeah. And you can't because you got a plane ticket. You'd just fuck off to the airport and be sitting there rocking back and forth as you're trying to get a new flight.
Yeah. Do you know what the other thing is as well? I don't know if you find this, but and I don't know what the cause of this is, but it used to be at every convention there'd be a couple of tricks that would just blow you away and you'd be like sitting down and jamming and somebody would show you the thing that you would just like mentally dine off for the next 6 months. I don't get that vibe anymore at conventions. I really don't. Like, for me, it was all about the 3 a.m. sit down jams and people busting out stuff you've never seen, like stuff that completely blows you away. And every now and then I'll see something like that. But I don't know. It just feels like a completely different vibe to them.
Blackpool, you had a very different experience than you.
Yeah, Blackpool was an anomaly where I was accosted. And couldn't get time. Next Black, I won't lecture in Blackpool again. And I'll spend all my time in the Ruskin. But I just don't get that. I don't know about if you've noticed it too, but
I do notice that there's less people showing me cool stuff. If that's what you mean. Like, I mean, there's lots of cool stuff at the dealers, don't get me wrong. Maybe people are just playing their stuff close to their chests. You know, maybe it's a case of, I don't want to show this round at the world's largest magic convention in case somebody else takes this idea and runs with it. Because so very many true. People are a creator now. Maybe there's that element to it. I don't know.
Yep. It could be that. And it maybe... that. But either way, like, I don't want to, like, do a 3-hour journey to London, then a 14-hour flight to Vegas or 11 hours, whatever it is. And then, you know, do it all in reverse. Ugh, when it's not really, like, the dealer's hall isn't very good at Magic Live.
Not great.
And you'll be there now, which is even more annoying. I'm kidding. But yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind come August and I might go, but I'm just going to stick with Miami, I think. Anyway, so what are new products have been out?
I don't know. Let's find out.
You must know. You probably reviewed half of them.
Don't really know. Let's have a look. I've not really... Okay, so we have... Have you seen Scar Tissue by my good friend Seth Race?
No.
It's a new Penguin product. And okay. It's the blister effect. But how they've built the blister effect into the gimmick is very, very good. What's the best version of the blister effect you've ever seen that uses playing cards? That gives you a complete free choice of any one of the 52 cards?
Oh, I'm not very well read on them, to be honest, man.
Branded was a good one by Tim Trono. But it didn't give you a free choice of every card. Most of them are sitting in your pocket. Have a look at that trailer and, you know, skip to the end if you want to. It shows you exactly what the gimmick is.
Okay.
Basically, what they've done is they've built the blister effect, or what Seth has done is he's built the gimmick that you need for the blister effect into the top of a Sharpie.
Oh, where's the? Oh, that's great. That's really good.
Yeah.
So you got all the values and all the suits.
Yeah, so literally, you're holding a pen. You've got a reason in the routine to hold a pen, and you can get any card.
Is it the value and the suit?
Yep, it's the value and the suit. Any card.
Wow, that's great. That's really good. Oh, that's got a huge toy factor.
Yeah, I love that. Once again, Penguin have been knocking it out the park.
The little scorch marks on his fingertips as well. That's so good. Love that. That's a perfect little release, that is.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's really, really
$30 good. $30 too. So it's like 20 quid, 22 pounds?
Yeah, 20 quid.
We've just done
a great job. Penguin, as I said, are hitting it out the park. They've also got a really nice one. But do you know Rizky Nanda?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a new thing with Penguin. Here, I'm sending it into the chat. It's a lolly production.
I've seen this. Super cool. Fun.
Yeah, really, really good. Really, really.
Really visual.
Really great idea. Yeah, both of those have come out in the last week through Penguin Magic.
I know that the Vox online version came out. So the Vox where you can download it instantly and it's got even more features in it. Have you seen that?
I have, yeah. Very, very interesting. David Jonathan rang me up about it before he brought it out because he wanted to make sure I was okay with it, because there's a very small crossover with something, isn't there, that
it's tiny. Tiny.
But, you know, just show, the reason I'm bringing that up is just to say that's the type of guy he is. I didn't even consider it a crossover in any way, shape or form, but he was like, hey, I just want to reach out to you and tell you this, you know. But David Jonathan's a fucking legend. I had him. I'm doing masterclasses once a month on the Netrix now, where I have somebody come in, and he did a 4-hour masterclass on the Netrix.
Fuck off.
And it was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Wow. Well, the new Vox is, because it's got updates to it, so there's more stuff you can do now. It's just, fuck, I know I keep going on about it. It's probably the fourth time I've spoken about it, but $24.95, it's the best value for money trick out there at the minute. It's just brilliant, and it lives on your phone, and so good.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing.
What's interesting to me that I can see on the Murphy's site here is playing card cellophane refills. $5. And they said this cellophane is the perfect size for playing cards and has a clear tear strip, allowing it to match most playing card original cellophane. It's perfect for resealing a gimmick deck. These seals are not self-adhesive and must be applied with a heat sealer like a Wonder Sealer.
Okay.
I love stuff like this. $5 for a pack of 50, which is really good.
That is very good. I might get some of those.
I really think that's good.
The other thing that we should talk about that I've just sent you a link to, that obviously is a Murphy's Direct product, talking about David Jonathan, is Premier.
Oh, I've known about this for so long and not been able to talk about it. Have you seen it?
Well, I've got a quote on there. I'm on the trailer with my quote. So he showed it me about a year ago, and Titanus then showed it me as well at Magic Live last year, prototype set. It's fucking ridiculously good, man. It's so good.
So many fucking layers of deception built into this that I mean, it's one of those tricks where I would not enjoy being a layperson watching this, because or witnessing this, because there's no explanation. There's no explanation to everything. Cancels itself out, and then that kicker ending. It's just, what the fuck?
And also, I don't know who did the trailer for Murphy's, but the trailer is fucking phenomenal.
I think it was Matt who works at Murphy's did it. Like,
all right, I've never really met Matt. I've seen him on a couple of Zooms when I've been Zooming with you guys, but I've never really met him. Trailer was great. Like, my favorite person to make trailers is you, followed by Dalton Wayne. And I think that was up with both you and Dalton.
Oh, yeah, better than my work. He's just phenomenal. But man, what a great, great trick. And you know the full workings, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know how everything's done. Yeah, it's so layered. There's so many layers to this. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
It's one of those tricks. What I like about it is that you could literally pick it up and go to do any, like, say, especially like a sit-down parlor show or whatever, and you've got like a guaranteed 10-minute piece of magic that's killer, really engaging, and then it also has that ending which we all look for, I think, or, you know, one of the best endings you can have, where it's just like, fuck, the answer was staring you right in the face the entire time.
Yeah.
Just gorgeous.
This has, and I genuinely think that this has the potential to be trick of the year.
Yeah, it's up there, isn't it? It definitely could be, actually, thinking about it.
Yeah, it has the potential to be trick of the year. It's great. Yeah, really, really good. And Nicholas Mavrasis is amazing. I've got him doing a masterclass on the Netrix this Friday. David Jonathan is amazing. You put the two of them together. Fuck me. Fuck
yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I just get jealous of people.
Man. Yeah. So the premiere, I think there's a lot of people going to be doing this. It's very, very commercial, really great method, very, very layered, very, very different. Can't wait to see the reviews on that one. Really great. Really, really great. This year is going to be the year of David Jonathan. He's already had some amazing stuff out. He's had Vox. He's had the re-release of Vox. He's got this. He had Color Sync come out through Penguin, which was that really cool ESP matching effect. And I know he's got a ton of other stuff coming out as well through 1914. I know he's doing stuff with Alakazam, he's doing more stuff with Murphy's, he's doing more stuff with Penguin. I mean, it's just he's the man.
Yeah, he's amazing. By the way, I've just been watching the trailer for Impossible Escape by Patricio Terran.
Okay.
And because I didn't know it existed, but I was working on an idea like this recently. It's based off like an old effect where you have one one card that has two slits going lengthways down it, so the long sides, and you take another card and it has a hole in the center as well. Sorry, and you take another card that has a hole in the center and you insert it in and out of the two slits and then you fasten it together with a pin. Seen this? It's like an old escape thing, but this one looks like it's got. This version looks like it's got a convincer that you sort of need to make it look impossible.
Oh, wow.
I think. I don't know. It's really, if it looks like it's a little bit of an updated method. I'm not 100% sure, but it looks a little bit updated. But it's an amazing piece of magic. It's $19 anyway from Penguin. But I really like this. It's called Impossible Escape by Patricio Terran.
They've just brought that out, I believe. Yeah, that's another new one.
I'm not sure if it's an update to the method, but it's such a fooler. I had the original version as a kid. I was obsessed with it because it's one of those things like I would show adults and they would just be baffled by it. Completely baffled by it.
I'm going to pick that up. I'm going to pick that up 100%. I tell you what, Ben Harris has been in the news for a couple of different reasons. The first reason is he's just published his new book, Bend It Like Geller, through Vanishing Ink.
What's all that about this?
It's a book on metal bending, really, and also a kind of retrospect on Uri Geller.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet. I've got it. I haven't read it yet, but it's very... I'm a big fan of Ben Harris. I think he's incredible. I've always been a big fan of him. I was lucky enough to interview him recently on Magic TV. And I think it's great. And he knows a lot about metal bending. So I can't wait to read it. I know it's going to be amazing. The other reason he's in the news is he's been posting everywhere on Facebook last night, annoyed that there's another ripoff of Cosmosis.
No.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I didn't know that he created Cosmosis until like 3 days ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the floating match. Who's ripped it off?
I've just sent you the link. There's a trick come out called The Floating Lady by Xanadu Magic. Magically levitate the princess over a bicycle back playing card. Place the princess on the card and she slowly rises only to gracefully return back to the surface of the card. She may be removed and handed out to a spectator for examination. You can even use your own match toothpick or the supply cutout princess. Easy to do. Great close-up magic.
Oh, yeah. That just looks like... Is it 100%? Is it his method as well?
Yeah, I believe so.
Like, what's he saying on Facebook?
He's just saying that he can't believe it. And I can't believe another company is ripping it off.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't know that was his trick until recently. Because it's such a, you buy it in like every magic shop, brick and mortar shop around the world. Yeah. Have you seen the way he does it by moving a ring over the floating match as well?
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Oh my God. It's perfect. It's beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, really great. So, it's such a shame. But I know that he'll be pissed off about it. He always is. Rightfully so. I've never heard of Xanadu Magic before. I've done a search on them. It looks like the portal has a lot of stuff that's not really theirs. But I don't know. Outside of that, I don't think there's anything new out. I am aware of some stuff that's coming soon, which is going to be very, very exciting. I tell you what, I said Trick of the Year is David Jonathan. It very possibly could be. The other thing that could potentially become Trick of the Year is the trick that we can't talk about it yet, but the trick that Rich Relish is bringing out with Murphys, that is going to be fucking good.
I actually, we had Rich as our first guest on the Black Art podcast last night. Me,
hey, the Jake. Black Art podcast.
Oh, side bitch.
Podcast.
No, but well,
I'm joking.
As you know, he's a sleeping giant, you know. Rich Relish, he's in no rush to get his name out there whatsoever, and he's just one of the most brilliant thinkers I've ever met. Anyway, he always sending great questions for the podcast and a good contributor. So we thought it would be good to get him on and talk about his creative process. And Craig is just fanning cards in front of his face at the minute. And get him on to talk about his magic, his creative. Now he's doing a face change where he waves the fan in front of his face. He goes from happy to sad. What the fuck is going on? It's too early in the fucking morning, you can't.
So when's that episode airing? Is it today?
Yeah, it goes out at 5 p.m. this afternoon. Set to be it was a great recording, and it was really good insights into his creative process, and also like his performance environments and the stuff that he chooses to do. I just like, you know, it was interesting to just do a deep dive into him. So tune in. It would be live by now for everyone. So go to my channel or any podcast service and just...
No. Don't go to the podcast. As somebody who watches the Black Arts podcast, don't go and listen to it on the podcast, because it just frustrates you when the two of you, you and Jake, start talking about something that sounds really cool and you're going, just do this. You have to go, right, stop. Right, I'm going over to YouTube now. You may as well just do it on YouTube. That's the proper and correct way to view the Black Arts podcast.
Yeah, true. In fact, though, this time it was all talking this time.
Oh, wow.
There was no examples of that. I can't think. Is there anything else that's like jumping out at you?
Not really. I know that...
Office by Leo Smetsers has come out.
Yeah, well, I've had that a little while ago. It's great. It's... Pom pom prayer stick, but with a load of random shit on a pen. It's really funny. It's actually quite good for a close up magician.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Prayer stick, then it's a close up version of pom pom prayer stick, and it is
pricey.
I can imagine why, because I've seen it. It must be difficult to make. It's not easy. So I can imagine why it's expensive, but it's really good.
$93.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't think there's anything new coming out. Tell you something, I haven't seen anything new from Saturn Magic since Blackpool.
Haven't you?
Oh. Nothing.
Well, mind you, most companies gear up like 5 releases to go.
Yeah, I suppose so.
For Blackpool, don't they? So anything like not after.
Yeah, I suppose so. Maybe it's the Calm or something.
Or they are they stopping releasing or maybe just...
Is it don't know. I don't know.
I did see another trick this week, which is called Straits, S-T-R-A, or Stratus, sorry. That's my mild dyslexia kicking in.
Are we talking Illusionist?
No, never. Stratus. It was on Vanishing Ink, I seen. It's a signed bill into playing cards.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it looks good.
It looks all right.
I don't know the method or anything. I haven't really watched the trailer, but it looks good as far as I can see.
I think you're probably buying the tools or the apparatus rather than... Because I've seen this type of trick before. So I think you're probably getting gimmicks. That's what you'd be paying for. But look, it looks decent. It's got a good trailer. But you basically have a bill signed and it vanishes and then you have them pick a card and inside that card, you tear it open and inside is the signed bill.
Also, by the way, I forgot to mention this. Jamie Dawes has just bought a new trick out.
Oh, he always has good stuff. What is it?
It's called Polaroid. It's really cool. It's a story-based trick. I know, surprised with Jamie, right? It's a story-based trick, and he brings out a load of old postcards, and he tells, Polaroid pictures, and he tells this story about, like, a series of disappearances in the 1960s, and they're all Polaroid pictures of people that have disappeared, and names written on the Polaroid underneath, and... the whole idea is that they disappear, and when they disappear, all that's left is a Polaroid of themselves. And police investigated it, and it's this whole story about that. But it's got this kind of sixth sense ending that makes you go, "Whoa!" It's really good, actually. If your style of magic is kind of sit down and spend a few minutes telling a story and really building up, then this is great. It's not my style, but it's definitely something that somebody will like Matt would do, like. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No. I'm the older I'm getting, the more I'm into that sort of thing. Oh, there's a new John Bannon book coming out. As you guys probably know, I love John Bannon's magic, and Mentalism, I think, is my favorite card magic book ever. And he's got a new book out called Very Hush Hush. And it's 40 powerhouse card tricks featuring his signature blend of maximum impact and minimum effort. Little to no sleight of hand is required for all of the gems in Very Hush Hush.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. I'm currently reading this bad boy.
What is it? Oh, wow. Jean-Pierre Varino. He's a genius. Written by John Lovick. I mean, that's a beast. Wow. Wow. That must have taken so long to make. Any standouts in there so far for you?
There's a really nice progressive ace assembly with a regular deck that I actually put up on YouTube recently. That's very good. I did a review on it, a review show special. I performed 2 or 3 of the routines in the book. It's very good. Very, very good.
You know what else is out? Is Deep Breath by Matthew Parrott in the 1914. It's Matthew Parrott's sort of like treatise on the Gilbreth principle. And he sort of
That came out about a year and a half ago.
Oh, well, I can see it here in the top 10 on top 5, even, I think, on Vanishing Ink.
I think, don't quote me on this, because I haven't spoken to me about this, so I don't know. But all of 1914's downloads have now suddenly appeared on Vanishing Ink.
Ah, right, so they must have done a deal or something.
So I think there's been a deal that's been done between, because originally all of the downloads for 1914 were only available on 1914. And I reviewed that about a year and a half ago. And now recently they've all been popping up on Vanishing Ink. So I think that there's something going on there.
Cool. Got it.
I'm not 100% sure, but it is not new, but it is amazing. I gave it 100%. I performed a couple of the routines from it.
Yeah, it is amazing. Matt sat me down and showed me some of the stuff from it. And it's so good.
And he's the only person that's ever being able to explain to me what the, virtually, because I watched the project, I didn't speak to him, but he's the only person in a project that's made me understand what the Gilbreth principle is. Before, I knew what it was, but I didn't understand how it worked. And then he had poker chips and he was explaining it with poker chips. And I kind of watched it and I was like, now I get it. Now I understand.
Yeah, it's so good. So good. Well, with all that being said, I can't see anything crazy standing out to me from the magic world. Like, is there anything happened on the Magic Cafe these days? Is there anything?
Are we talking about, are we now moving into another segment seamlessly, moving into Sorry Not Sorry?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Have you got a Sorry Not Sorry? Tyler Lunsford, why is he a dick?
Probably because him and Sam stayed up till 4 in the morning fucking wrestling each other in the Airbnb in Blackpool.
Yes, they did. In your frat house. That was the Blackpool.
Twat house.
Bond's experience. Yeah. That's funny. With Rory trapped in there somewhere.
No, I don't know. I don't have a Sorry Not Sorry. I suppose maybe my one is loosely like, it feels like conventions are more about, I don't know. I don't see that like those secret fun jams where people are showing like brand new stuff anymore. And maybe that's just because people are, you know, it's happened to me 100 times where people will pinch your idea and run with it. But I don't know. I don't really have anything glaring that annoys me. I have a controversial opinion on. Do you have any?
On, release that inner anger. You know, you want to get pissed off about something, Lloyd. Get pissed off.
Not really. I'm all right.
Get angry. Channel in a Hulk. Bring it out. Let's talk about something that really annoys us. Let's think. I'm gonna say some truth.
My hay fever is annoying me. Does that count? I can barely breathe.
Illusionist. I'm trying to trigger you. I'm trying to think of words that will trigger you.
Well, yeah, but they don't really exist in the magic world anymore. They killed themselves off. I don't know.
Magic reviewers. No, that's not done.
Now all that drama seems to have quieted down. Now it seems like, or am I wrong?
I just ignored it. Me and Tyler talked about it last week. I just ignored it pretty much. I'm turning the other cheek. This is the new and improved Craig. I don't get angry about it.
Instead of Sorry Not Sorry, let's talk about something that we good. So it's like we appreciate
me.
Oh, fuck off. Let's almost like positive instead of something negative.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Reach into the deepest, darkest crevice of your brain, Craig. of your heart. And look for something good.
Try to think of something that makes me happy. That's a positive thing. I find this difficult, but we'll
I love putting you on the spot and watching you squirm.
I find this difficult, but we'll give it a go. I do agree with what you said about the convention, but I do think that the online sessioning vibe in various different, I mean, you're not on social media, so you wouldn't know, but you know, Facebook groups seem to have got a lot better. There seems to be less arguing at the moment. It got to a point, I don't know if it was because of the pandemic, but it got to a point where even in the Magic Circle Facebook group, just everybody was bitching and moaning at everybody else. And somebody had posted...
I remember that time, that period in time.
Somebody posted a video and 10 people would shout it down. And these days, it just seems like everyone's really respectful at the moment. And everyone's really, you know, like just... It's nice. It seems to be. I don't know if that's
the calm before the storm.
Maybe it's because you left social media and then everyone's nice to each other. I think that there must be some sort of parallel that we can draw from there.
It could very well be that. It could very well be. You know what we should talk about is, because we've got off the boil on this, but what's happening with the Magic Podcast Convention?
Well, I think we need to do it, man. I've not wanted to talk to you. I've got the venue. I've got everything. We can even still do it in like October. I've got dates. I would love to do it. And I can handle 90% of it in terms of all of the admin and everything. You just need to turn up and look sexy. But I mean, I think...
That's the easy part. Turn up my tally knackle hanging out.
I think that people would love a convention like that. I really do.
We just need to decide on the lecturers, I think. That's the important part. Like, book them and they will come. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wayne's World is shit.
I've got multiple dates that I could throw at you. I think a Sunday or a Saturday would be good. Okay. I've got multiple dates. It's a beautiful venue. It's 5 minutes down the road from a train station. It's in the middle of England, so it's accessible from everybody. It's got a massive area where we could have dealers. I've already got 7 or 8 really good dealers that said they would come to a convention that we put on. We just need the lecturers, and we wouldn't want to do the same shit that everyone has. It'd be want to be a little bit different.
Yeah. What would be your number one, like, what would be the US, what would be in your head the main USP for it? Hello?
I'm just about to answer it, sorry.
No, sorry, I couldn't see because I've been watching the snooker in the background as well.
You fucking have.
It's Mark Alavis, Jack Jones. Yeah, it's blind.
I think there's a couple of things that would make it different. The first is the fact that, you know when World Magic Shop used to do the lads convention and it was really popular and then it tailed away when World Magic Shop went away? Mm. Lads was incredibly popular. And one of the reasons lads was so popular is, of course, it was all about, like, lectures and dealers. There wasn't, you know, it was that's what it stood for, lectures and dealers. I think that there's a lot of bullshit that goes on at conventions that you don't really need to see. I think a good one-day convention that's got, you know, some really good dealers, a couple of really good lecturers, and then lots of places to session. I think that's really important. I think also just you and me, you know, I especially if I did it sober, that would be great. You know, I'm going to turn up. I'm drunk since Blackpool. If we do another podcast live, I'm going to do it sober and see how that works out.
It was such a fucking car crash this year, I gotta admit it.
Dude, it was just completely ridiculous. I'm doing it sober this year, 100%. If we do it again, I'm doing it sober because I think I can do it better sober than drunk.
That's what she said.
No, like, coming and just hanging out, you know, I mean, you're not going to lecture anytime soon, I get that. And I'm not.
I'd probably lecture at our own convention if listeners wanted me to lecture.
Yeah. But I also, I'd love to see that. But also, having lecturers on that aren't normally, like, there's certain people that, you know, you and I are fairly well connected. We could get almost anybody to come and do a lecture if we wanted to. You know who I'd like to see?
Who?
Justin Miller.
That was the first name on my list as well.
Justin would do it in a heartbeat.
Do you think?
Yeah.
You know the other name you mentioned?
No.
I'll put it in the window there.
Yes.
When you said he was locked in.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's locked in, but he owes me fucking one and then some. He should be locked in because I think that he would do it for me because of everything that I've done for him.
If we can get him, I say we go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I say we go for it. But we can't do it in October because that's the London Magic Convention.
That's November, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is there any in October? I'm looking on magicweek.co.uk. Oh, it's so good. You've got Peterborough's 30th annual magic sale. Let me just control F and search the word October on the page. IBM Ring Convention.
That's September.
Okay. Are these 2013? What the fuck? This is going back. Oh, Magic Convention Reviews. Okay, no, never mind. These are going way, way fucking back. Magic Links. Okay, here we go. This is better. All right. In October, you got South Tyneside International. Oh, yeah, I'm lecturing on that.
Are you?
Yeah. Have I just announced? I don't know if I'm supposed to announce that.
You're lecturing there?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I said yes to it before Blackpool. Did I tell you? I think I told you this.
No, I don't think you did.
Yeah. It's got a good lineup, if I remember correctly. Greg Wilson, Alan Hudson, Arcadio, Solange, Javi Benitez, Danny Deortes, Juan Luis Rubaez, Matt Baker, Romani, Taylor Morgan, Rebecca Foyle, Felan and Steve Royal. Was that this year's one? Oh, that was this year's convention. I don't know who's doing next year, apart from me. Fuck, don't tell anyone. Shit.
Well, I'd definitely go and see you. I'll go to that one.
But that's in October, the 13th to the 15th. So you got Leeds Magic Jam in September and the IBM convention in September as well.
And then in November, you've got London and you've got the Midwest Magic Convention that I'm lecturing at.
Yeah.
Which is the one in Ireland. I mean,
it could be in October or September. There's nothing in the summer. There's June. Bill Malone is in Glasgow. Professional development course in magic. But an August convention could be pretty cool. I just don't know if I want to spend my summer fucking organizing that shit. You know what I mean?
Well, it would only be one day. But is there a reason why nothing takes place in August? Are people
Maybe
on
because a lot of people on family holidays and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Like, is there a reason why people don't organize magic conventions in August?
Could you put a post up in the Facebook group and ask people, like, put like a poll up and put, maybe month? Like, you'd have, it couldn't be any earlier than July, I don't think. It'd have to be August, September, October, November, not December. Should we try that?
I'm on it.
Do.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I can do that. I can put a poll up. Because if people are into August, August would be a really good day. I mean, Magic Live is in August, but I mean, that's, you know, Vegas.
Yeah. Mid-August would be cool.
Yeah.
If people are down for it. I mean, a one-day convention could be nice. If it's going to be one day, I would say one day, right?
Yeah, one day. Ah, Jack's here. Jack, can you do me a favor? Can you post in the podcast group and just say, if Craig and Lloyd organize a magic podcast convention, what month would you like to see it in? And do a poll of all 12 months and get people to reply.
Cool.
Thanks, buddy.
Sorry, I want to
thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Cool. Yeah, got it. No problem.
Hello.
Hey, dude, what's going on, man?
Thanks, buddy.
See, there this is go. Why Craig can get so much stuff done, everyone listening, is that he does nothing himself.
It's true. Why have a dog and bark yourself?
I know, I need to train Kaylee. Get that bitch on a leash.
Honestly, though, that is the you know, if you want to know about time management, the best way to do it is to get a solid team around you that can do that sort of stuff. You know, that's how to manage time. You know, because
just get really fucking rich.
You can either
you mad cunt.
Oh no, but honestly, the thing is, if you're running a business, you can either work on your business or in your business. And if you're working in your business, if you're doing all of the day-to-day stuff, then you're never gonna have time to work on your business. Like, so for example, the podcast, both of your podcasts that you do are really easy. Because you don't have to do anything. You literally just film your talk, and then I handle the rest of it, or actually my team do. And with the Black Arts podcast, I'm willing to bet that Jake does most of it.
I do the editing and the uploading and stuff.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow. I'm surprised. I thought it would have been Jake.
No.
Okay. I'm really surprised about that. Okay.
But it's only like a quick edit. So I have a template and everything. I drag and drop it in.
Also, it's not like a lot of the stuff that you produce on YouTube that takes...
No, literally, I record it over Zoom, and then I just, for the video format, I just drag and drop the video onto like a template of like the, you know, the background effect and stuff like that. So it's pretty simple. But I still have to like shoot a thumbnail and stuff. And then, but Jake writes like the blurbs and things and the titles, which like surprisingly, people may not think, but that takes such a long time to do, to get it right.
Yeah, it does.
It's fucking annoying, and he's good at that stuff. But yeah, so okay, potential. It would be called the magic convention.
Yeah, well, you've got the magic podcast. Why not make it the magic convention?
I like that.
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
The magic convention. Just check in for something.
And I could definitely get dealers there, 100%, no problem.
Yeah, who would you have? Well, actually, anyone we can get.
anyone we can get, but I know of a few people that would come and do it in a heartbeat. And I reckon, you know, it's the old expression, isn't it? Build it and they will come.
Yeah. Book them and they will come. Wayne's World is shit.
So I've given Justin Miller, and we've got that other name that we can't talk about that I'm going to reach out to. Is there one other name that you would like?
Who comes to your mind?
I think it has to be somebody that people haven't seen a lot of, but also has a great reputation. Somebody who... So, for example, I don't think you could get him in a million years, but Wayne Houchin.
Oh, I'd love to see Wayne Houchin lecture. Fuck, that's a good one.
Wayne Houchin would be a really good shout.
Yeah, Danny Garcia would be great.
Yeah, Danny Garcia, absolutely brilliant.
Like, I want to say Tobias Dostal, but he's done quite a lot of lecturing lately.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him lecture like recently in Paris. He lectured at...
you want someone that hasn't lectured for a while or doesn't lecture. Maybe we keep it a surprise. Or maybe we put maybe you have people on the Magic Podcast discussion group. Can everyone go and type in some names, suggestions onto Jack's post? Maybe if Jack edits the post and says, and also drop a comment with who you'd love to see lecture, think of people that are... not like common on the lecture circuit.
Yeah. I tell you who hasn't lectured in the UK for years, and I think would be a really good draw and a really big name, and I'd like to see him lecture as well. Very different name to anybody else that we might have been talking about. Richard Sanders.
Oh, wow. He'd be huge.
I can't remember the last time I saw Richard lecture.
Fuck, that'd be a massive win. Do you think he'd do it?
I can't see any reason why not. He's done it in the UK before.
Yeah, try that.
Yeah, Richard Sanders would be great. He's one of my favourite magicians of all time ever. I think he's everyone's favourite magician.
Have you ever interviewed him on Magic TV?
No, I haven't. Right,
do it. Do it now.
I seem to have a problem with getting Canadians on this channel.
What?
Yeah, they're always busy. The only one... I managed to get on really with Sean Farquhar. But wow. Then again, he did talk enough to cover the whole of Canada put together. So, you know, there was that.
He must have been a great guest, though.
Oh, he was amazing. He was amazing. Did I have anyone else from Canada? Probably. Oh, the guy that did Anthony Linden, who did the suit jacket escape, I had him on. He's from Canada. But not many Canadians. I've been after my trifecta. I've been after my four big, oh my God, yes. You know what? The other person, so my four big Canadians that I want to interview are Jay Sankey, Richard Sanders, Bill Abbott. And the other name is somebody I haven't seen lecture for years. And he kind of left Magic.
Let me guess. I don't know if he's Canadian. DH?
Nope.
Okay.
David Acker.
Oh, wow.
He left Magic for a bit and ran comedy clubs. But I follow him on Facebook and he started posting magic tricks again. I think he's got the bug back. I tell you who else has started posting loads of magic-related videos that left Magic for ages and became a huge megastar on YouTube and has now started posting magic tricks again. I haven't seen him do magic for years. Chris Ballinger. You remember Chris Ballinger?
He hasn't, has he?
He's posting a shit ton of magic right now. And he stopped doing anything with magic. He stopped doing anything. He was all
because
about...
he got huge on YouTube, didn't he? Like huge on YouTube.
And he's still huge. But I think he might have got the bug back or something because, like, there you go.
Give me a link to that shit.
I'm just looking... on his videos, on his posts. Here you go, look. Posted a couple of days ago. He's there doing a card trick.
Is he? Can he still handle a deck?
Oh yeah, I mean he's still doing really good stuff, like really good stuff.
That's a cool trick.
He did Silk to Egg. Look, a couple of days ago, he did, and his handling of Silk to Egg was brilliant.
Take a handkerchief, put it in your hand like this. Snap your fingers, and it changes into an egg, and the handkerchief jumps to your pocket. You need a handkerchief, a plastic egg with a hole in it, and a second handkerchief, okay? So what you're going to do is take this handkerchief, place it into your pocket, and keep this handkerchief out and keep the egg hidden in your hand, okay? You're going to take the handkerchief, place it into the egg. You're saying that you're putting it into your hand, but you're actually pushing it into the hole in the egg like this. Once it's completely inside of the egg, you snap your fingers, show the egg, and take the handkerchief out of your pocket. Now, if people are behind you and they see the hole, then you have to do an extra step, which is to peel the hole off of the egg, show the egg all the way around, and crack it.
So good.
I don't know. Maybe he's got the bug back, but he left Magic completely after Magic Geek, and he's just come back.
I'd love to see him again. I don't know how much he creates though, but it'd be interesting just to have him as a character. At least see him on Magic TV. I want to know all about that.
Yeah, I might reach out to him because he was such, but like years ago, he was like the guy when you wanted to see anything like demoed. Chris Ballinger would be the person you'd go to. Magic.
Yeah, love it.
So Chris Ballinger would be a fun one. But yeah, Wayne Houchin for me would be amazing. What's Wayne doing right now?
I don't know. He's got a website, waynehouchin.com. Is it?
What's he doing?
He has a journal on his page. American Wonder concept video on tour in China. Oh, from 2003. Older. I really don't know. He made a video called American Wonder in 2020. I have no idea. He's probably lecturer. I'm sure he's like a big lecturer, right? Like he'd like a worldwide lecture tours.
Like, has he dropped out of Magic, or is he still?
He randomly followed me on Instagram like a year or so ago. Let's have a look. Let me see if he's got his account still running.
Yeah, have a look.
Houchin W is his. Oh, no, that's not him. That's some other guy. Imagine having two Wayne Houchins in the world. I can't see him on Instagram at the minute, unless he's blocked me. It'd be a shame, you know. I don't know. I don't know. He'd be good though to get.
Oh, he'd be amazing. I mean, he's. I know. He did your favorite Penguin Live, didn't he?
I don't think I've seen his Penguin Live.
Oh, maybe I was speaking to somebody else about it.
But it probably would be my favorite if I seen it.
I don't know. I'm going. Yeah, let us know if you know where.
Okay, have Jack update the post so that it says for people to name good names as well.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll check. I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that with him.
Okay.
Anyway,
cool.
Yeah, I can't. I'm gonna find him. I just found him on LinkedIn. He hasn't posted in ages, but I've just had a suggestion come up of somebody I should follow, which is Brad Christian.
Okay, cool. Yes, that's
so good. Let us know if you want to see the Magic Convention by the Magic Podcast. I would love to do that, man. I think it would be just so much fun.
Yeah, even just as a learning curve to fail. No, if we get other people to do all the good stuff, like lecturing, then
we can just hate us. We can just stand there,
rest on our laurels.
Yes,
it's cool. It's just fucking chill. By the way, everyone listening, this is how we organize everything In fact, this is the most organization we've ever done for anything.
It really is. It really is. You don't want to hear what the organization is like for the Magic Podcast Live. It's just non-existent.
We definitely need to get like, I was going to say, we should definitely have like Magic Podcast decks of cards for everyone.
Dude, I've already told you. You already designed them with an incredible marking system, if you remember. We just need to go and get them printed. I'm totally into that. Let's fuck it. And everyone gets a deck of cards if they come along.
Okay. I should tease the design somewhere. I got it right here. The deck. I'll be totally show people this.
Yeah, the design is incredible.
Back design. Here's the file. Oh yeah, I'm really hyped on this actually. Yeah, I'll send you. Do you remember what it looked like?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's fucking incredible. Because I remember you designing the deck and saying to me, "Can you see the marking system?" I was like, "No. How is there a marking system there?" And you pointed it out to me, and I was like, "Never seen anything like that. That could be a product, Lloyd." And you were like,
"Well, the original plan was to give them away for free at Blackpool, remember? But we just couldn't get them printed in time."
No.
All right, cool. Okay, look, let's get that question up on the Facebook group and run from there. It's not going to take much to organize a convention. Book the lecturers, get them over.
Yeah.
And then sort the venue out, which you've already got sorted, right?
Yeah.
I'll do all the design work for like tickets and flyers and things like that.
And I'll promote it and market it and do the admin side of things.
But that's it.
Let's just see if there's any questions. I did post.
And we've got to get the dealers in as well.
Yeah. Oh, I'll start looking at dealers. I'll put the date. As soon as people have decided what the month is, I'll look for dates and we will make it happen. Okay. I'm excited about that. However, let's have a look. I asked at 2 o'clock in the morning, I asked in the Society of Secrets if there were any questions. And we have had a couple of questions. So we've had 3 questions, which is amazing. So I'm going to read them out. So readers' questions. The first one is from Duraro. And he says, "Morning, boys. Hope you are having a sheepy, shitty week. Do you think the magic industry is too frantic about number X? No X. What I mean is that 80% of ad copies will state, know this, know that, and 1,000 other things. Is it even relevant? If so, to what degree? Thanks, and for the love of sheep, fuck off."
Beautiful.
Oh my, sorry, I've been Succession, such a good show. It's been that way since time began. I remember Mark Mason was a big one for this back in the 1990s, and he would bring a trick out, and I'd be able to work out the method just from the ad copy, because he'd be like, "No rough and smooth, no this, no that, no the other." I'm like, right, that's how it's done then, is it?
Yeah. It's such I always say this about the magic industry, is that I can't think of any others, and this I'm probably wrong, but we're the only industry that tells you what you're not buying.
Yes.
You know? It hasn't got 2 wheels. It has got a roof. No, it hasn't got a... I don't know. It's like, what the fuck?
But I think that if... Okay, so... Okay. I understand why companies do it. I don't think Murphy's do it very often, do they? I'm thinking of the ad copy that Murphy's put out, and I don't think that Murphy's do it very often, but I might be wrong.
I think a lot of companies just default to it because it's formulaic. You know, it's just the done thing. And oftentimes a product will be released by people purely to just have a new method, whether that method's superior or not. Some people are like, well, it's the same trick, but I've got a new method, and that method can sometimes be a lot worse. But the selling point is that it's fooling. So it's like, oh, you know, it's like, well, it's not using thread or magnets, so what could it be? But to the audience, it don't make a fucking difference. The thread version was probably better, or the magnet version was probably better. But some people just want to get, you know, the piece of the pie as well. So I think that's the issue that's caused it.
Yeah. I think that sometimes it depends on the product. Like, so for example, I've got something coming out with Alakazam in the summer. And
you keep talking, I need to piss.
Okay. Well, you'll still be able to hear me because you've got your AirPods in. So I've got something coming out.
It'll be nice.
So I've got something coming out with Alakazam in the summer, and it's a mentalism style routine. And when you watch the full performance, you're going to look at it and you're going to think, oh my God, that either uses memorization or it uses a crib. That's the only way I can think that that can be done. And it doesn't. It doesn't use memorization and it doesn't use a crib at all. But you'd watch it and you'd go, well, that's the only way it could possibly be done. So I think that the ad copy for that, or the trailer or whatever it is, or the pitch in the trailer, I think that probably we're going to go with, hey, no memorization. And no math, no memorization, no maths, no cribs, because that's immediately what you're going to jump to. And I think that as a company, it's smart that if you've got something that's coming out that doesn't use the method that everybody thinks of, I think it's smart that you actually point that out. I just think it gets ridiculous if you use it on every single product. So, for example, if I was bringing out a trick, which I'm not, but if I was bringing out a trick and it had the same effect as the invisible deck. So you have a deck of cards, they name a card, you spread it out, and the only one turned over in the deck is the card they named. I would probably turn around in the ad copy and I would say, no rough and smooth, because you know, when people look at that trick, they're all automatically going to think of rough and smooth, because that's the default method that most people go for when it comes to that sort of thing. So I think pointing out there's no rough and smooth when, you know, that's the method that most people are aware of to do that particular trick, I think that's a smart thing to do. I just think it's a ridiculous thing to do when it's every single product that you're bringing out. And he's back from his piss. What do you think?
Yeah, I think certain products, it's imperative to tell them what it's not, because there could be, like on the flip side of what I said earlier, and it's like what you're saying, like there could be something out which is really good, but the method isn't good.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, shit, it's really good, but it uses invisible thread and I can't use invisible thread or whatever it is, you know, I'm not even thinking of it, whatever trick there. So in those situations, it's important, it is good to tell people, but oftentimes, I think, be as honest as you can. So for example, if you have a trick, I actually don't know what the trick you're talking about, but say it's got this ability that it doesn't need to have a stack, right? Because it's something cool that like intrinsically codes you without having to do any work and it's always in plain sight. Well, as long as they can't make it themselves at home, like if it's like a custom deck of some sort, just show them.
Yeah.
Like, look, because they're not going to go off and reprint every card. Like it's just not worth it. Just go, look, guys, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's no stack. What it is that there's a code on the back of this card that tells you the order of every card in the deck or whatever it is. You know, that's why I'm such an advocate, and I've done so for years, of putting the full tutorial out for free, you know, for a product where they can't just go off and as long as it's not just like a routine for a trick, then just explain why it's so good.
Yeah.
And let people decide for themselves. There's one, like a lot of companies do rely on that impulse nature of people buying it just to learn the secret, but ultimately, like I don't think that then there's only you look at like the, you know, I won't say what company, but you look at a certain business model that's they destroyed the customer base, and the whole model is working on acquiring new customers really, because that whole approach of just get them in, get them tricked, and then disappoint them. You know, it's not good. And I think that's a cause of it, a big cause of it. It's like it's saying, oh, well, it's not this, not this. You learn it just to learn what the new version is. Then you realize, oh, well, it's not as good as the first one, but it just didn't use that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think honesty is an important one.
But great question. Another question from Andrew Niner. Andrew says, Lloyd and Craig, morning, gents. Without tipping what it is, what are some projects in the pipeline that you two are really excited about?
This motherfucker, Andrew. He always wants to know what's coming up next.
So I've got something coming out. Probably, would you say that this thing is the next Murphy's release of mine that we've been talking about, and I sent you that file that I filmed last week that you sent to George? You know what I'm talking about.
Is that the next release, would you say?
Yes. Would you say that's the next release? I don't know. Yeah. I'm very excited about that. I'm very, very excited about that. If you remember when I first showed you that, you were like super excited about it. You're like, to the point that you signed, George was away at the time, and I think you signed it off before George even came back. It's a really fun thing. I don't know what I'm allowed to say or what I'm not allowed to say. I can't really say much. It's to do with a particular genre of magic that very few people create magic in that particular genre. And I've taken a very different approach to it than anybody else that I've seen.
You're the only person in the world that's managed to take it's very Craig thinking, like where you could take a trick like EDC and throw in an A-can in it. You've done the same thing with this genre.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the next trick. Without tipping it. Oh god.
I mean, can we tip anything about this project?
I suppose you can. It's
Can we talk about what, without saying anything about what it is, can we talk about the genre of magic that we're
Yeah, in? Go on then. Okay. Go on then.
So it's to do with Rubik's Cubes, but
don't say anymore.
It's not a Rubik's Cube. And you don't need to be able to solve a Rubik's Cube in order to do this. In fact, if you've never picked up a Rubik's Cube in your life, you could still do this because it's not a Rubik's Cube. But the genre of magic is cube magic. But it's not, because it's also mentalism and normal magic.
You can't.
It's everything. But if you had to categorize it, you'd say cube magic, but it's not a cube.
Yeah. There we go. And it's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
So much stuff with it. I fucking hate Rubik's Cube magic.
I know you do. But
it's not so much that I hate Rubik's Cube magic as that so many people get it wrong. Not that there's a right or wrong way, but there's so many people do it. Like, it should, first of all, it should be illegal to say how many ways there are to solve a Rubik's Cube, or that 4 quintillion, million, billion things. Like, that should be illegal to say, even though you say it every performance, you little bastard.
I do. I'm framing the impossibility of what I'm about to do. That's why.
And I was like, I always find it funny when people will show that they can speed cube and then do instant solves in the cube and act like that's magic.
Yeah.
It's always like, well, it's like when people do cardistry and they expect people to think that their card tricks are not done with sleight of hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I could go on a rant, but I'm not.
No, of course you're happy. Happy, Lord.
Happy as Larry. Next question. That
was mine. That's the thing I'm very excited about at the moment. Have you got one? It doesn't have to be our own. It could be something else. It could be something
new. Yeah, okay. I do know one that I can start to get the hype train rolling on. Roll it. A couple of months ago, I posted an app on my channel and I did a lottery prediction with it. And that app is going to be released on the 18th, I think. And there's so much more you can do with it than I ever showed.
Is that a Lloyd Barnes app?
No, it's not a Lloyd Barnes. It's got a massive thing that a big part, like 50% of the app was a concept that I put in there, but it's not my app. But it can do something very, very fucking unique. That because there's similar things out there, but this is like the Rolls Royce, Mac Daddy, every feature under the fucking sun, plus this entire other half of it, which is it's like fuck, which nothing else has. So pretty exciting, but I can't give it away.
Wow. But it's coming out on the 18th of May.
Yes,
fucking special. I'm excited.
On the 8th, maybe the 8th of May. I need to double check.
That's great. Find that.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's one more question from Matthew Dean.
Cool.
Matthew Dean says, maybe a silly question, but how does one get into consulting? I was hired by a local illusionist for about 2 years, but as it was my first gig, so to speak, I consulted on a few illusions, not really to the degree I believe it's required. So how do you really get into the consulting side of magic?
Cool.
Well, you've done way more consulting than me, so, you know.
Yeah. Obviously, like, networking is imperative, but it's... Network is important, but not as important as networking is important from to an extent, but not as important as it normally is. I find with consulting, they come to you. You've got to put yourself out there to show them that you're good enough. Almost every major consultant, or at least the biggest ones, were sought after. So it's all well and good trying to get in with production studios or other consultants. But what I found is, like, for a lot of consultants, it's a bit of a dog eat dog world. They all want a piece of the pie. You know, they all want to be involved, and it's a lot of nepotism involved, where they'll get their friends in to consult on the shows when their friends are potentially not the right people for the jobs. And also then with a lot of consultants, there's a bit of a, what's the word, like a monopoly on them. And that's why you find a lot of TV shows are very similar and very lackluster, because it's the same people doing the same stuff on the same shows. It goes around in circles, and but they've got a corner of the market. Like, they've got the monopoly on it. So it's very hard to, like, break into consultancy through other consultants, is what I'm trying to say, or through networking. And again, like with magic gigs and stuff, people are always willing to undercut you. But when you are the one they seek, when they come to you, it's a completely different ball game. It's suddenly you're not fighting to get your position. You're not working against the grain. And the only way really to do that is to get your name or to get your magic out there. And the best way to get your magic recognized for being a consultant is to do, obviously, creative magic. But, well, yeah, creative magic. So don't just post the same card tricks everyone else is posting. Don't just post the same coin tricks everyone else is posting. Like, show everyone why you deserve to be a consultant or why you should be booked as a consultant. And the thing is, and I mean this in, like, I don't know how to say it. Because I don't know Matthew Dean. I don't think I know Matthew Dean. But a lot of people want to be a consultant, but it takes a very particular... You have to be... There's, like... I'm not a consultant anymore. I turned down all consulting gigs. Literally, I just passed off a Netflix show. Well, I passed it off, the same show off, 3 times in the last month. Like I, no matter what they're offering me, I'm not going to do it. Because I feel like there's creative people, and then there's just a different level to it. And there's many people that want to be consultants, that not everyone's good enough. And that's the blunt trauma reality of it sometimes. So you'll know if you're good enough when people come to you. And I don't think I'm good enough. And I'm not. And also, you have to be comfortable as a consultant where, like, for me, this is the big part of it, is that some of the best tricks I've ever created, and it's, I don't do it for ego, but, like, it is, like, magic creativity side of it for me is the life of it, regardless of, like, money or anything. Creativity is my main drive. But a lot of your best ideas, you can't even acknowledge them as yours. You know, and then when you think about it, like, I'm a family man and I got a mortgage and got bills to pay and stuff or whatever, then you get paid whatever it is. Sometimes it's not a lot, sometimes it is a lot, but it's like for a 1 month gig or something, you get paid whatever it is, and that's it for that trick, whatever, although that set of tricks, and it could be your best tricks you've ever created, but that's it. You know what I mean? And I feel like consultancy is, I don't know, everyone's different. So some people might be really happy doing it, but it's like, it's one of those, like, you never know when you're next going to be able to pay your bills with it. You never know when the next TV shows come in. You can be dropped in a moment. You can fuck, you know what I mean? It's such a dicey industry to get involved with, or dicey career choice. And ultimately, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase it. But, like, yeah, it's a lot of people want to do it to say they've done it, to get, like, the prestige from it. But I don't think it's looked upon in the same way anymore. But no. I'm going off on a tangent. I'm not really answering Matt's question. I do apologize. I'd say the best way to be recognized as a consultant. You can try and fight your way into the industry, right? Like by networking and undercutting people or whatever you want to do. I've not done it this way, but you can try and like force yourself into the industry. They should be coming to you. And the only way to do that is to put your creations out there, make Instagram accounts, make TikTok videos, whatever, and get recognized, and they'll come to you. And then it's 10 times easier.
So basically be so good that they can't ignore you.
Yes. Yeah. Because also like there's a type of magic for TV, which is very different to the type of magic you create to release or perform. And you kind of need to show that you can create that type of magic.
Yeah. I don't think I could really do that effectively. I think that I'm more wired towards.
I think you could. And it depends what this, you know, the other thing is, it depends what type of consultant you want to be as well. Are you some are a jack of all trades, some of the guys that come up with the concepts. So just like a trick ideas and potentially how it works. But some of the times, so those are more like the writer types. Some people are the method men, you know, they just like, right, this is the concept. How do we make it work? And then some are like the engineers who are going to go off and build stuff. And you can have jack of all trades as well. But yeah, I don't know. I've said no, I don't know, for like the last 2000, when did I meet Kaylee? I stopped taking on any consultancy work back when I met Kaylee, I think.
Wow.
Said no to, I think, almost everything. And there's been a lot through the door. But it's, yeah, I don't know. I just don't find it as like lucrative in every sense of the word, like financially and therapeutically, as it was at one stage. Maybe I'm wrong though.
Well, you're very protective of your time. You know, that's one of your, you know, big characteristics. You're very protective of your time. You like to have a lot of family time, you know, I imagine consultancy work would take you away from that an awful lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the last thing would require me being out of the country for a substantial amount of time. And that ain't going to fucking happen. Like just not going to happen. I mean, even if it was like, I don't know. Yeah, like it'd have to be gross money for me to just want to do that. But you don't get that in consultancy because you're not the star. Like the star is the person getting the money. You know, maybe you get like 10 grand for the month and then your best ideas are gone, your time is gone, your effort's gone, and it's just not fucking worth it.
Yeah.
I don't think anyway. But I think it's a young man's game for sure. That's one thing I'll say. It's definitely a young man's game. But I just don't see it as like a, like, yeah, there are people that have it as a career choice, but even those other people have multiple revenue streams as well.
Mm.
It's a tricky one, but I suppose I'm not really answering the question. The number one thing I'd say is if you want to be a consultant, then be so good that they can't ignore you. They should be coming to you. That's kind of been like my thing for everything. Like in all my career, it's if you look back at everything, it's always been that like you shouldn't force yourself to take.
Murphy's went to you. Everybody goes to you.
I just think that like a lot of people force themselves into an industry where it's not right for them.
Mm.
You know, and then they and it's just like, you ever been in a relationship that's just not working, but you want it, you force it to make it work. It'll never work long term, right? And loads of facets of life, people just. You know, I know people that, you know, wanted to be an accountant, but they were terrible with figures, but they just always had this dream of being an accountant. It's never going to work long time. They're never going to be happy because they can't, it's just not right. And I see that in a lot of different things in magic. But for me, it's always been like, well, I've always waited for people to come to me and then decided if I wanted to do it or not, as opposed to me like chasing and forcing myself in to the door, you know, like when I've created projects, I've always waited for people to ask me to release it as opposed to trying to force a company to release it for me.
Oh.
You know, like if I find myself in a position where I'm chasing a company to release my trick, then they're not excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, you want them knocking down on your door, being like, come on, please, can we have it?
Mm.
And that's the indicator of whether it's good or not. And I think it's the same with consultancy as well. Like you need to put yourself out there, and if you're good enough, they'll come to you.
That's good. Yeah.
I hope that didn't go off on too much of a
no. That was really good advice. Really good advice. Yeah. Well, that's the last question, Lloyd. I don't think we've got any voicemails this time, unless you've had them sent to you.
I don't think so. No. Let me have a look. Just search my inbox.
I haven't got anything.
No, I haven't got anything by here.
Right, we'll send you questions in for next week and we will answer them. That's what we do.
Yeah.
There's a good chance we will. Well, Lloyd, it's been great having you back this week. Thank you very much for taking the time to jump on the podcast. I know how busy you've been, so I appreciate it, buddy. And so does everybody else listening to this.
Yeah, and I'll be back in a month's time.
Yep. Tyler, if you're listening to this, get your fucking cowboy hat out. Yeehaw, motherfucker.
It's true.
When I filmed in Alakazam, dude, I filmed the podcast on the Tuesday night at 1 a.m. till 4. I was so fucking tired. And then I had a 14-hour shoot with Houdini's doing all the live performances the next day. I was like fucking dead.
No one listens to this shit. I keep telling you, don't bother.
No. Oh, you know I can't not do that. And people do this. They love you, Lloyd. But we'll be back week. Probably with the Magic Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure that you jump into the Facebook group and ask the question about the answer the question about the convention, because I'm going to make this happen, even if I have to drag his ass from Wales to the Midlands to make it happen. And we'll be back next week. So thank you very much for tuning in. Lloyd, what you got to say at the end of the podcast?
Have a shit week, you fucking wankers.
I like that. The venom. It was just fucking amazing. That was great. I felt that inside to my core. Have a fucking shit week, you wankers. We'll be back next week on the Magic Podcast. And don't forget, if you haven't already done so, check out the Side Chick Podcast. You can get it on your podcasting platforms, or you can get it on YouTube. Just go to Lloyd's YouTube channel. See you soon, guys. Yippee, motherfuckers. See you soon.
Piss off.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.